It is good to read God's word and to sing God's praise. It's also good to hear what God is teaching us through that word. As you look on in your sheets tonight, you will see roughly what I am going to say. I will add a few more sentences, a few more words, but you will be able to follow not only hearing, but reading. But before we look at the story that Ben read earlier, let us pray. O Lord God, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you that there you speak to people. You teach us about ourselves, about life in this world. You teach us that we have a problem, but also that you have not forgotten us, nor have you left us alone with that problem. But rather, you sent your word, and then in time, you sent your son. And he is the great teacher, and he is the one who through his death deals with the problem of disobedience, of sin in our lives, and all the suffering that it brings. And we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that as he walked and talked and met people in their needs, that they could talk to him, they could look to him for help, and he helped them to understand themselves, to understand him more and what he came to do. And they found great blessing for themselves through that goodness, peace and joy coming to them. Peace with you, joy because of your love, goodness from all that you do in the lives of your people. Help us to understand this story from the life of Jesus. Help us to understand this woman's need, and what she saw, what she understood, why she believed. Help us to know Jesus in that same way, we pray. Amen. You like going on holiday, I'm sure, and there are times in our busy week, our busy lives, we think we need a holiday. The story that we're looking at tonight tells us of Jesus going on a bit of a holiday. He's travelling out of the country in which he grew up and was teaching. He travelled not overseas, but to the country next door. He went north. He travels out of Israel and he goes to the seaside, to a port town called Tyre. He went there with his 12 special friends. He wanted to be there because they needed time alone. Jesus had had a very busy time and not always an easy time. Some people didn't like Jesus and what he taught, and they were making life hard for him. And so he decided it was time to go and have a break, have a holiday, have a rest. And he hoped that that would be what he would find in Tyre. But I also think he went there because he knew there was a woman who needed his help, and he wanted to bring that help to her, to show her something about himself, and also to teach his special friends, who we call his disciples, something wonderful about Jesus and the help that he brings to this world. It didn't take long till many people realised that Jesus was there. The secret was impossible to keep, and the word came to this woman. Now we need to understand, she is not a Jewish woman. She was not born in Israel. She was not even born in Tyre. She came from even further north. We are told that she is a Syro-Phoenician woman. But she came to Jesus because she needed help. Can you remember from the story the help that she needed? Can you remember how she talks about someone special to her? It's her daughter. And her daughter had a very hurtful problem. An evil spirit had taken up life in her and was bringing her a lot of pain, a lot of suffering. And no one could help. But when she heard that Jesus had come to Tyre, she knew that Jesus could set her daughter free. Free from the demon. Help her to have a normal life again. And so she came to Jesus and she cried out to him, "Help me, Lord, Son of David." Now that's interesting, because many of the Jews couldn't say that. They didn't believe this about Jesus. You see, these words that she used about Jesus are words that say that Jesus is God's special servant, that he was sent from God into this world to gather a people to be his people, to save them from sin and from God's anger because of that sin, to bring about a new kingdom and a new life for people. But she is happy to use these words. She understood what many did not, or were afraid to think, let alone to say about Jesus. She told Jesus that her daughter was suffering because of this evil spirit. And she was crying out to Jesus saying, "Help me. Help me by helping my daughter." And you know what Jesus did? Nothing. He didn't look at her. He didn't speak to her. He did nothing. He showed nothing. He said nothing. He acted as if she didn't exist. And she kept crying out, "Help me. Help me." She was so noisy about this that the special friends of Jesus got angry. They were annoyed. She was upsetting them by constantly crying out to Jesus. And they said to Jesus, "Send her away." They couldn't get rid of her. She was asking for Jesus to help, but she was not Jewish. And she's noisy. Send her away so that we can have peace. But they misunderstood Jesus' silence. He didn't speak to her. He didn't do anything for her, not because he didn't care about her, not because he hadn't noticed her or wasn't aware of her problem. He had something else in mind. By that silence, he was trying to teach her something, but also to teach his special friends something about his work and about his love. Something that we also need to learn, and that's why this is put in the Bible. You see, Jesus wanted people to see her faith, but he also wanted her faith to be tested. "You say you believe in me, do you really? Do you just believe to solve a problem? Or do you really believe in me, whether the problem is solved or not? How strong is your faith?" And as for his friends, his special friends, his disciples, he wants them to understand that faith is not only found amongst Jewish people, the people that they had been teaching these past few months, that they're not the only ones who can have faith in Jesus, who can understand who Jesus is, and who can be blessed by Jesus because of their faith. And that's good news for us too, isn't it? It tells us that Jesus looks for faith in us and will receive us if we believe in him. It tells us that place is not what is important, but grace bringing about faith. Doesn't matter where you come from, you don't need to be a special type of person to be of interest to Jesus or to be able to be helped by Jesus. Doesn't matter where you come from in the world, where you live in the world, what is happening in your life now. The disciples had to learn, and this lady was already showing, you can believe in Jesus and find him to be your best friend, your greatest helper, the one who loves you and cares for you throughout life and forever. Jesus did talk to her. And when he did, he said things that a lot of people get upset about, that shock people, that stun them. First, he told her that he had been sent, that is, by God, his Father, only to help lost sheep who belong to Israel. It sounds like Jesus is saying no to her. You don't belong to the Jews, therefore there's no help for you. It looks like a cruel way to do what his special friends ask him to do, to say, get lost, go away. God has no time for you. You're not one of the lambs of Israel, the lost sheep. But really, it was Jesus asking her why he should help her. The second thing Jesus said was that it would not be right to take food that was meant for children and to throw it to the dogs or to pet dogs. You hear that? Jesus calls Jewish people sheep, lost sheep, but sheep. And he has come to rescue them. He calls them children. And that speaks of love as well, doesn't it? But she is called a dog. Now, there are two words for dogs that the Jews used. One is a wild dog, a scavenger. He lived on the tip. And he would roam the streets looking for food. And there's another one that is the word for a family pet. Now, a lot of Jewish people did not have pets, but a lot of Gentiles did. And that's the word that Jesus uses here, a pet. But he says even the pets don't get to eat from the plate first. That you first, a good parent will first feed the children, not the animals that belong to the house. It doesn't sound fair, does it? It almost sounds cruel. I'm sure it would upset you if someone said you're just a dog, even a pet. But she was not upset. She understood that Jesus was using a word picture to say that he was like a father feeding children at the dinner table. And it would be wrong to take the meal that was for his children and to give it to a dog. She knew Jesus was saying, like a lamb, like children, like a dog, that he was not really saying that she was a dog, even a loved dog. He was not saying that he thought of her as a dog. Listen to what she says when she understood what Jesus was saying. Yes, Lord, that is true. But even the dogs eat the breadcrumbs that fall from their master's table. What do we see about this woman? She comes and approaches Jesus on his terms. Now, what do I mean by that? This woman is an outsider to Israel. And yet she's the first person in the Gospel of Mark to hear and show that she actually understands what Jesus is saying, even though many find it hard. She doesn't argue with Jesus. She doesn't say, I deserve to be treated better. She doesn't say, you can't talk to me like that. She continually just asks for help. She's happy to be like a dog, knowing that even a crumb that comes from the hand of Jesus is better than the banquet of Caesar. She would rather have a little bit that fell off the table, a little bit that Jewish people didn't want to hear or to receive. She would rather have that than all the wisdom of the world, all the gifts that other people could give. She doesn't want the life that others could give, but the life that Jesus can give for her and for her daughter. She calls him Lord, showing that it is she who is to be humbled and needs to obey. And she says, yes, I must obey you. I can't tell you what to do. I can ask, but I can't tell you. And that's an important lesson about prayer. Prayer is asking, not telling God. It is saying, what you think is best for me, I know will be best. But will you listen to me about this or about that? Show me your way. Give me what you think is important, for even a little bit from you will be so helpful to me and to my life. We could put what she is saying this way. If I must come to your table as a dog, let me come as a dog and allow me to eat the crumbs that fall from your table. As I said, she's not fighting for her rights. She knows that she has no claim on Jesus, no right to expect his help. None of us do. Sin is the problem we all have. It is what we all do. We disobey God all the time. We're so ready to tell God rather than to listen to God, to expect God to love us rather than us loving God. And it's no surprise then that suffering comes into our life as a result. Like this woman, we all need Jesus' help with sin and bringing our lives back to God and to know his goodness, his blessings, his help. We don't deserve it though. That's why she cried for help and why we need to cry for help. To cry for his mercy, for his care. She wasn't complaining about her life or that of her daughter. She was not saying God was unfair. She was asking, she was begging for mercy. And Jesus responds, doesn't he? He honours her faith. He praises her for her faith in front of his special friends, almost saying to them, "I wish you had faith like this. This is the faith you need. Faith in him, faith in his mercy." And Jesus granted her request. Right then we read the demon left her daughter and she was well again. We read that she believed Jesus and went home and, yes, found her daughter was well again. You can imagine the joy and the thankfulness in that home, in that family, because of Jesus. She believed, even when many people at that time, even amongst the Jews, the lost sheep of Israel, did not believe. Because they didn't believe, the blessings Jesus brought to them fell to the floor. But by faith, she grabbed them. She hung on to Jesus, found in those thrown away crumbs, as it were, rich blessing. And she becomes an example of faith. It's a faith that sees and receives Jesus for who he is, that he is the Son of God, that he is the Lord over all creation, that he is the Lord over every person, but also that he is the Messiah, God's Son, the Son of David, the promised one, who would bring God's mercy of forgiveness and of love back to people who believed in Jesus. She's an example of faith in that it's a faith that can be known no matter what your background or your need. All you have to do is turn to Jesus and believe. But it's also a faithful that holds on when it is tested. This faith is not simply about getting what we want from Jesus, but it is trusting Jesus in the journey of life, no matter how difficult it may be, and how long we may have to wait for that help, for that relief, even if it means waiting beyond death to know true help and the fullness of Jesus' blessing. Is it the faith that Jesus sees in you that you bring to Jesus day by day? If it is, be assured he will comfort you, though you may be troubled. Though you may be needy, he will help you. Even when you are desperate, you will find he is strong in love and care. Let us pray. Again we talk to you, O God, so thankful for Jesus. So thankful that this woman showed such understanding about Jesus, who he is, his power, his love. And she believed in him and wouldn't stop believing even in the silence. And even when there were hard things to listen to, that no one deserves the help of Jesus. And yet she clung in faith to the truth that Jesus came to show mercy. Mercy to those whose lives are ruined and controlled by sin. And that's our lives, Father, until Jesus takes over. Until Jesus comes in and cleans us and brings forgiveness by showing mercy to us. We thank you that he can do that because he died for sin upon the cross. We thank you that faith is really a gift from Jesus. So he calls us to believe, but yet helps us to believe. May each of us know that help. May each of us not only know that call to believe, but the joy of believing, of trusting Jesus, of trusting in him for peace with you, for life, now and forever, as your special friend, as your children, as lost sheep that have been found, as dogs that are now children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.